Let's look at this. Look at this diagram. You can see that this diagram is like a peak. It's like a mountain. And this entire mountain is divided into various Roman letter, right? First, second, third, fourth, and so on. If you see at the base, it's given up. Now just connect it with here. First is called as trough. Trough is considered as the start of any business activity. So the start of any business activity, if it is towards the rising, you can see this is the rising stage. So this will be considered as the starting of any economic activity. Its expansionary forces are operating. So second to fourth is considered as the expansionary phase of that activity. Let's say in economic activity, we'll say construction, real estate. So you'll have to take last 5 years ka construction, real estate. Now here in real estate, whether it's commercial or whether it is non-commercial. If you take non-commercial, residential. So you will look at the data and you'll plot the data. You will see which was the trough, when did it start, what type of policies were operating. Expansionary phase mar jate jate kitna time laga, correct? Peak kab aaya? You have to find out which was the year of the peak. This will be the time where the prices in the residential real estate segment would have been the highest. And after that, till what time the prices remained, till they started falling. So you have to track these actually based on the data and the time duration. Fifth, sixth to eighth is contraction. And finally, you have after contraction, when again we come to the lowest level, we get trough. We are interested in knowing what is this trough ka variable. Like if I'm talking about real estate, residential prices. Then I'm interested in knowing ki ye jo residential prices trough mein hai, what were those? So starting mein jo residential prices ka rate tha aur end mein jo residential prices ka rate gira, so was it same or was it little higher or little lower? So this is a very simplified diagram which is making you understand ki whenever you have any data and you are plotting that data, then you have to see how that data is moving. And this data can be plotted, and we have trough moving to expansion, peak, contraction, and then the trough finally ends. So trough is the lowest level of economic activity. But is it the start or is it the end? That is what we need to check. So from one trough towards the peak is expansion. From peak towards the trough is contraction. Trough se peak ki taraf ja rahe hain to expansion. Peak se wapas trough ki taraf aa rahe hain to contractionary phase. It is the movement of the variable. Jaise variable hai, let's say profits. Profits of, let's talk about electronic firms. Or you can talk about the profits of companies like Amazon and Flipkart. So you can track their profit levels over a duration of time and say whether it's an expansionary phase or is it a contractionary phase. Expansionary phase is very motivating. Contractionary phase means the company has to revise its policies. It has to revise its strategies so that they can prevent from falling further. This entire trade cycle can be further smoothed because it's a macroeconomic variable. So we will put it into different phases. As you can see that here there is a line, a horizontal line, which is EE. This horizontal line EE is considered as the equilibrium position. Now, the business cycle is being plotted in such a way that you get two phases, which is above normal equilibrium, and two phases, which are below normal equilibrium. Now, we have to see which phase is considered good. So like phase one is declared because it's above normal, which is above normal equilibrium. It is rising. It's an expansionary phase. So it is considered as prosperity phase because it's going towards the peak. So prosperity phase is above equilibrium, above normal equilibrium. Lekin above normal equilibrium mein jo falling phase hai, it is called recession. So you have to know ki equilibrium phase mein, equilibrium say above नॉर्मल इक्विलिब्रियम में अगर राइजिंग फेज है तो वो प्रॉस्पेरिटी है, फॉलिंग है तो वो रिसेशन है. रिसेशन इफ इट इज नॉट कंट्रोल्ड इट विल गो फर्दर डाउन एंड इट विल रीच बिलो नॉर्मल इक्विलिब्रियम विच इज योर फेज 3 कॉल्ड एज डिप्रेशन. Once the economy falls into depression, it's a danger signal because the economy going into depression, we don't know how many years it will take for it to revive back. And lot of efforts will be required to revive the economy from depression. Once the economy is moved, pushed from the recessioner and it starts going towards again, but it's still below normal equilibrium, it is phase 4, which is recovery. All this thing is very clearly explained in this slide. So just read the slide carefully, connect it with the diagram to, you can say, fix it in your mind, the four phases. So we can say that the trade cycle is divided into four phases: prosperity, recession, depression, recovery. Correct? PRDR, PRDR, prosperity, recession, depression, recovery. Now we will be understanding the phases of this trade cycle one by one. So we'll start first with the depression phase. What is a depression phase? It is a phase in which most of the economic activities are showing a downfall. Some of the variables which we have picked up, macro variable is real consumption. Now what is real consumption, students? It is the volume of consumption per head, okay? Per head means per person. So total consumption divided by total population. Real production, employment, they are all falling or they are subnormal. Taking you back, see, this was your phase 3, barabar, depression. Now where is depression lying? Below normal activity, below normal equilibrium. So when real production, real consumption, employment are falling below normal, which is called subnormal, it is considered as a symptom of depression phase. So it is characterized by low production, trade, employment, prices, profits, all are falling. There's a decline. Share prices are also falling. Construction activities also showing a fall below normal. Now there are no buyers only. Nobody is investing only. So this is the symptom of depressionary phase. Recovery phase mein, you can see I have underlined here rise. All the same variables we have picked up, but now there is a rise, there is an improvement. The producers have become little optimistic. Banks have started giving loans. Okay, so whenever the wave of recovery sets in, economy says that they are, if you remember, when I was talking about the features, taking you back, see, there was one feature of trade cycle called self-enforcing. Self-enforcing ka matlab hai, one factor will automatically pull up the other factor. So here you have, in recovery phase, once it begins, it starts feeding upon itself, which leads to prosperity. So recovery ek bar set, it's like a cycle, it's like a rolling snowball effect. Ek bar start ho gaya, toh it will keep accumulating more and more and more and more of snow, and it becomes bigger and bigger. So it's something like that. Prosperity phase, it's a phase which is characterized by very large increase in production, high level of employment, incomes are going up, overall pricings, but also profits. So it's a very, very good phase. Lot of optimism in the market, lot of hopes, lot of investments. Greater inducement to investment, rise in interest rate, expansion in bank credit, these are all the variables. So you can just see your high level of real investment. Yeah. Construction sector is totally in a boom. Okay, economy is working at full capacity. It's considered as a very, very positive and very, very highly motivating type of economic structure and environment. But the question comes is that will the prosperity continue? Certainly not, because as our diagram says, once you reach the peak, you find that the graph is going down. So here we are trying to make you understand, why does this boom break? Why does the prosperity does not continue? The reasons are scarcity of resources. As higher levels of employment are reached, you don't have manpower. So you will start getting the work done by utilizing less and less efficient people. Now you already know when less and less efficient people start getting recruited because there is lack of manpower, because everybody who wants to work is employed, and still we are looking for outsourcing, like what's happening in countries. Definitely it will start getting compromising, and that is where the profit will start getting somewhere fluctuating. Bottlenecks are considered as scarcity. You cannot have non-renewable resources. We cannot create the non-renewable resources. And remember, students, there's always a time between production and actual product getting delivered in the market. Labor cost. Abhi labor ka demand badh raha hai, toh wo log bhi apna prices badhayenge. So higher labor cost has to be incurred. Wages keep rising. Higher funding cost, more borrowing, because prosperity mein we say era of optimism. So if the investor class starts having huge funding, then the banks will increase, because we know inflation, and we know when there's too much of money in the market, it will bring galloping or hyperinflation. So the monetary policy will immediately come and it will increase the rate of interest. So the funding cost will go up. Funding cost badh gaya, toh definitely kya hoga? Profit margins will start getting compromised, because the cost of undertaking the production has gone up. So it will be expensive for the producer class. Recessionary phase. So you have understood how the boom, how the prosperity breaks. Once the prosperity breaks, what happens? Recession comes. The mark of recession is utter optimism of the boom gives way to skepticism. Now there's doubt, there's fear, product bikega ya nahi. The supply is more, there's unsold stock inventory lying with the producers, but there's not enough of demand. Yes, this was what J.M. Keynes highlighted. He said, if the aggregate spending, if the average spending of the person starts falling, then that is going to bring this break of boom. Because people are not spending as much the suppliers have already created. And that is where the hesitation, doubt, fear will start emerging. Recovery dreams of entrepreneurs start disappearing. Okay, so they don't make any new investments. They wait because they want to recover the money. Okay, whatever projects they have in hand, they are abandoning those projects. Credit starts getting curtailed. Banks are afraid now non-performing assets badh gaye. Kyunki jinhone bhi liya hai, they are not repaying because they have not got money from the market. So there is a chance of rising non-performing assets with the banks. Business expansion slumps, orders starts getting cancelled. Definitely when orders are cancelled, production is withheld. Who will hire the workers? So workers are laid off. Every company wants to have more liquid in hand, more money in hand. Okay, even people prefer not to spend because they don't know they are losing their jobs. So they don't want to spend. Business activity overall slows down and unemployment starts appearing. The first sign of recession is when unemployment is at a very high rate and construction industry is on a standstill. So this is called as a multiplier effect. Okay. Unemployment is falling to such a level that not only unemployment, now demand, prices, profits, everything starts falling. And we say there's a panic. And stock market also fails. Prices of shares start declining and the share market starts collapsing. So if you look for any of these symptoms in any of the countries, you will be able to understand that it is going through a recessionary phase. What have I done over here is I've simplified this whole thing for the students. I've prepared a chart and I've arranged all these phases of business cycle in a very simplified form so that it's very easy for you to memorize this entire business cycle. In the first column, I picked up the variables. Then I have written these phases of business cycle, prosperity. I've started with recovery. Kyunki recovery mein slow rise hota hai. Prosperity mein highest. Recession slow, depression fast. So see here, stock price. During recovery, the stock prices, people are very hopeful. So they start investing in stock. Prosperity mein stock market is showing a bullish trend. But in recession, the stock market has already started showing a bearish trend, and we say in depression, it is definitely going to crash. The moment you find there's a bearish trend in the stock market, people start withdrawing the money, and that is the reason why the stock market actually crashes. Investment, output, employment, all these are interrelated. Profits and investment. If the profits are rising, investment will rise. Barabar. But if the profits are falling, investment will fall. I hope you have understood this, students. But I want you all to focus on something called as bank credit and bank reserve. Students, if you look at this carefully, bank reserve is a negative variable. See, if the bank reserves are falling, matlab bank credit is expanding. These both are opposite. So during recovery and prosperity, the bank reserves will be falling. Bank will have less reserve because it is lending. So the bank credit will be expanding. Are you clear? But during recession and depression, may opposite. So this is something which you have to be very clear. So if the bank reserves are rising, it means the bank credit will be falling. See, credit and reserve, opposite. Bank failures will be very less in recovery and prosperity, but bank failures, business failures will be very high during recession and depression. In fact, if there are more business failure and bank failure and stock market crashes, it's easy for you to identify that the economy is going through a recession or a depression phase. So you can look upon the economy of Afghanistan, you can look at the Sri Lankan economy or the Pakistan, and just check and see for these symptoms to understand the business cycle phases. Now, whenever there is a fluctuation in business or there is a trade cycle, how does this trade cycle influence the decision making of business management or business managers? Because as we know, our paper of managerial economics revolves around the decision-making ability at firm level. So during inflation, it's very important that the companies need to keep a track of the prices that are rising, because they have to understand if the prices are rising, matlab the purchasing power is going to fall. If the purchasing power is falling, then the consumer demand for the consumer goods is definitely going to be weak. So what type of products need to be launched has to be very carefully planned. Yes, profits may be high, but at the same time, because it's inflation, raw material costs are going to be high. So the cost revenue analysis is very essential during inflation. Recession, the managers already know, the companies know that there's a recession, prices are falling, their profits are going to be very low. So they need not go for any future investment. They need to withhold those plans and they need to go for cost saving measures rather than going for uncalculated risk. Now, in a trade cycle, because we have discussed about trade cycle, that was internal. Today we are in an economy which is an open economy. When we talk about open economy, an economy which is having trade relations with other countries of the world. So what are the indicators which has to be, calculated, internal and external? Internal economic indicators are GDP and GNP. You already know that, students, now. Index of agricultural goods, index of industrial prices, wholesale price index or retail price index, that is CPI, rate of savings. All these are internal. So we can see what is the saving rate of our country, how the prices of general prices of wholesale and retail are rising, what is the country's GDP and so on. But if we want to know the international level or we want to know the external indicators, then they are balance of payment, foreign exchange reserves, currency value, very, very important variable, terms of trade. So our trading policies, export duties, import duties, okay, all that needs to be updated, and capital inflow. How much foreign investment is coming in the country? So these are the two main categories of business activity We keep a track of these activities, and on that basis, we can compare and connect it with the phases of trade cycle. And finally, because all the sectors are interrelated, we are moving to a topic called input-output analysis. Input-output analysis is very useful to study the demand-supply interrelationship that is existing between different sectors of the economy. Input-output analysis is a matrix which is based on this fact that each industry, 1 rupee output that it is producing, it has to know that how much of that 1 rupee it is spending on itself, how many on buying materials from other industries, and the balance spent on labor. So the input analysis revolves around what you feel is 3 things: spending on itself, spending on buying the material from other industries, and labor. Labor cost is given very high importance in input-output analysis because it believes that labor is one of the most important active component in the production process. The input-output analysis is very useful to know what would be the effect of change in final demand on production. So if the consumer demand is changing, then how is that change in final demand affecting the production of various sectors of an industry? So whenever the companies are doing research or they are doing consumer survey, the R&D looks for the changing consumer behavior so that the changing demand can influence their production plans. Okay, so it's basically a mathematical tool which makes you understand inter-industry, inter-sector input-output relation. Okay, it's not easy to prepare this matrix. It's a very complex, time-consuming, and a very expensive. But yes, data analysts who are helping the company for demand forecasting make use of this mathematical tool. I have shown you a very hypothetical example over here of how an input-output matrix looks like. What we have done here, students, we have rows and columns. You can see that we have here 4 rows, okay, and we have 5 columns. Now we have said that suppose there are 2 producers A and B, matlab 2 industries A and B. So if A and B is the industry, then A, B and C in the column is the consumer. So suppose industry A is totally producing an output of 600. So out of this 600, 120 it is spending on itself, 250 it is spending on company B, and 230 it is spending on the consumer. So this 600 is split up in such a way that suppose if they have made an output of 600, then out of that 600, 120 it has spent on itself, 250 on industry B, and 230 is meeting the consumer demand. What you do here is you can just make a division. I'll tell you how. Suppose if you take this is the final demand. They have produced, and let's say steel. Let's say A is producing steel. The total steel output is of 600 units. Now to produce this 600 units, we will first look at the column, first column. So industry A has produced an output of 600 units of steel. Now 600 may say, how much has it spent on itself? So what you will do, 120 divided by 600. How much it comes to? 2, correct? So it is spending 2% on itself. How much of this it has given to industry B? 180. So 180 divided by 600. Let's take it hypothetically in a paise form. So if it is a 600 units ka output, then out of that 600, how much is it spending on itself? So 120 divided by 600. How much it comes to? 0.3 or 0.2, correct? So 20 paise it is spending on itself. How much is it spending on industry B? 180 divided by 600. Right? And how much is it spending on labor? 50 paise. Right? So if you take this as 1 rupee, so 20 paise it is spending on itself. 30 paise it is spending on industry B because it's buying the material from industry B, the raw material. And 50 paise it is spending on labor. So, matlab 600 units banane ka, jo 1 rupee hai, wo, it is split in such a way that 30 paise is from industry A itself, 20 paise, 30 paise is for industry B, and 50 paise is the labor cost. So, you divide in input output, every company has to see that how much is it, it's like the cost which you are subdividing. Out of this 120, out of the 600, 120 units of steel is consumed by itself. 250 it is supplying to industry B, let's say it's a construction company, and 230 units it is supplying to an automobile company. Isko hum bolte final 600 ka jo demand hai, to 600 tons of steel ka demand, agar uska cost find out karna hai, to you have to take the column and you have to keep dividing. So 120 divided by 600, 180 divided by 600, 300 divided by 600. So you will come to know that to make this 600 units, how much has it spent on itself, how much it has spent on other industry, and how much it has spent on labor. But if you want to know how is it supplying, that is, this is input, now output. So whatever steel is produced, how is it being supplied? So 120 is self-consumed, 250 is to industry B, and 230 is to industry C. So this is how you understand the input-output. So see, if the final demand changes, now see, from 600 the final demand went to 750. That means here we will write 750. Correct? So if we keep this 750, then if we want to keep this 750, then how much? If we go by the 30 paise or 20 paise rule, then they have to keep this constant. So it is altogether basically putting down the final demand and then trying to work out on the labor cost, the self-input cost, and the cost that they have to pay for outsourcing. So this is a very useful mathematical tool to understand the input-output relationship. So with that, we have successfully completed this chapter. Hope you have understood this chapter. Please keep reading. Please keep revising. You can Google search. You can use various sources to understand the topic further. It's always an all-time learning process. So with that, we have finally completed this session of this chapter. Thank you, students.